made everybody late, and now we're just... This is why I sometimes don't feel bad about coming late.
I love the fact he turns up late and then gives me shit for not starting on time.
Aren't I great?
Oh, awesome. I love you, Adam Christensen.
Dude, I just rolled out of bed.
Hello, welcome to the Mac Show. Yes, we're here to discuss all the stuff in Apple, all the shiz that's gone on. And if you only listen to this show on this network, you don't know what you're missing, because last week the big show was an absolute riot. Classic. We remembered the cool band that was Paralyzed Scrotum. And I've even found my old tour shirt, look. See? There we go. Joining me to discuss the week in Apple. What a fantastic panel. An awesome bunch. If you know what that hiss is, it's Kyle. He's on a private jet back from Hong Kong to the Philippines, which is why it's horrible and hissy. Starting us off top left, it's the man, Duck Rock. How the devil are you, buddy?
Good, good. Rise and shine. Let's do this.
Oh, is that it? That's the only intro we're going to give.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's not screw around because Adam needs to leave. Next to him, Adam Christensen.
No, I'm here to ruin production values too, because the pool guy's going to show up and the dog's going to 10 minutes.
Mate, production values, schmalues. That's my, if people are coming to this thing thinking there's going to be some awesomeness, they're wrong.
How you doing? I'm doing good.
I'm all right, mate. I'm good. Next to him, Carl Swagger in a plane.
How you doing?
At 40,000 feet on the way back. Yeah.
This is what happens when you're not in first class.
How was the shopping trip to Hong Kong then, mate?
Oh, I got a lot of great deals. Got screwed on a lot of things, too. You know how it is.
Oh, that kind of trip
little,
got you.
Like a little. Yeah, don't tell the wife.
Next to him, it's Patrice in Germany.
Yeah.
What's been going on?
I don't know.
Why are we rattling through the introductions at lightning speed here? Because it's just...
Because we want to get to the stories.
We want to get... Oh, yeah, because there's been loads and loads...
That's a great week.
Totally.
Loads and loads and loads and loads and loads and loads and loads of Apple news.
We want to hear for the 27th time about the iPhone 8.
Really? We're going to do iPhone
8? Yeah, new Macs. It's a Mac Pro.
And last but by no means least, Brett Terpstruth, sitting there thinking, I was booked for last week and the bastard didn't do the show.
I'm here now. I'm happy.
Mate, did you build an entire recording studio just so you had a better backdrop than the last time you were on?
No, I'm still trying to turn what's behind me into an actual office.
See, that looks like a guitar rack behind you, but actually it's probably an IKEA bed, isn't it?
It is a futon that was too lazy to move out of here, and it has become guitar storage now.
Yeah, but if you just turn that guitar through 90 degrees, mate, it looks like a guitar rack. You look like you're in a studio, and you look like you're a total music pro. So all you've got to do to pull that off, man, is turn that guitar through 90.
I'll get to that later.
And rack it. How you doing, buddy? Sorry we missed you the other week, but it all got horribly wrong for me.
I'm good, and I am okay with it.
Full of cold. How's the yoga going?
Oh, really good.
You're a bit
crazy,
of a pro, aren't you?
Crazy class this morning. Handstands, dolphin on the wall. Oh, I'm super good now.
I aspire to be anything like you, mate. I mean, sun salutation for 15 minutes, and that's all I can manage before I'm out of breath.
Oh, do an hour of upside down poses. You'll be in better shape.
Those days are long gone, my friend. Long gone. The week in Apple, there was a thing I read this morning that someone posted in the Slack room about everyone's catching up to Siri.
It what?
Oh, mate. Yeah, that's awesome. Really? And then I did see a thing on Mac Rooms that said Siri's multiple language support is what keeps it ahead of the competition. So that's a fair point, perhaps. But obviously English is not in that. In that group, but never mind. But we're not doing that because Adam will get upset. So he's shaking his head already. Look, you see him. He's going, oh,
I won't
oh.
get upset. It's become funny to me now because I have no issues with Siri. But again, I'm a privileged white guy, so she probably understands me.
Have you seen
maybe you speak Klingon
Reverb for iOS
no.
and Mac?
How does that work?
It's Alexa for your iPhone.
Oh yeah, I got that. Mm-hmm.
I am very impressed with Alexa.
Alexa doesn't, you see, I now, really Alexa, love Alexa. Alexa isn't 100% perfect, but then nothing's going to be. But it's significantly more close, I think.
Right, and it's more extensible, which is kind of the selling point for me.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. The best part is the ability to add all the other skills and things like that.
Right.
Things that, you know, like for me, and this is such a simple one, and Patrice, you'll find this out in a couple of weeks. Like, right before I'm getting ready to go somewhere, if I have like an hour or two before I leave, I need to double check the charge in the car. I live in a condo on the 16th floor. The car is downstairs in the garage in the third floor. So I can go, hey, Alexa, ask BMW to tell me my range. And then, you know, she'll say, oh, BMW says you have 83 miles. I'm like, F it. No need to charge. You know, take another shot and, you know, mill around the house. But if for some reason, like I have forgotten the night before or whatever, I got a chance to run down, plug the thing in, go back up, spend a couple hours doing what I do to get ready to go. And Siri has the app in the phone, but yet it can't talk to it. And it's irritating.
Yeah.
But I mean, whose fault is that? Is that Apple's? Is that Siri being bad, or is that BMW not integrating it?
Well, they didn't get it integrated until the last OS rev. They've been making electric cars for going on 4 or 5 years. And so,
yeah,
I mean, they will eventually bring it up. But you got to remember, Apple only unlocked that closet, what, 8 months ago? Not even that long.
And only for certain.
That's like 40 years in design years.
Yeah, and only for certain features. Right, I'm not even sure, even if BMW wanted to, they were able to. Because I think so far you can only do a select few things.
That's a fair point.
Yes. Yeah, so, I mean, it's just, it's small stuff, and it's some of the, like, I texted you one the other day, Adam, because I just thought it was super hilarious that, you know, you could ask Siri and she wouldn't answer you, but Alexa can answer you, and yet Siri should have the capability because all the info was in the phone. So
yeah, but you know you do realize that the reason that BMW hasn't integrated with Siri is in protest at the fact that Germany still doesn't have Apple Pay, right?
that might be
it. I don't think so.
Ireland's getting it this week. Yeah. and the Italians, I mean, hell, even Greece has probably got it, and they've got no money.
Yeah, take out
Ireland,
all the money is in the UK.
Tax break away.
Yeah. That's going to be the thing. There's going to be a phrase out soon. It happened. How quick's it going to happen? Probably before Germany gets Apple Pay.
Yep. Pretty much.
That'll be the new slur. There we go.
Yep.
Which is going to please.
I know what it was, Adam. It was, I would ask Siri to send the last picture I took, and she can't do it. And I just think that's so dumb. Like, by now, you should be able to do that.
Send how, though?
Through iMessage. It's its own app. I mean, that should be.
Order me an Uber carrier pigeon.
Well, she can order an Uber, so.
No, I want Uber carrier pigeon. That's the new must-have service. No question.
Yeah, Uber should get out of the car business. Do carrier pigeons instead.
I actually, that was kind of like the throwaway line story where I was just going to gloss over it and move on, but that's got way more than I thought it would. New WikiLeaks has said that CIA's specialized unit, they have a specialized unit dedicating to beating the shit out of Apple. Mm. There we go. And Apple says, yeah, okay, that's fine, but WikiLeaks have told us all about the Vault 7 leaks, and we've already patched most of them.
Mm. How is that surprising?
Probably it's not. Yeah, someone coming in. But I mean, is there still any major? I mean, because the iPhone, so FBI iPhone thing a couple of months ago, was like a really big thing about them trying to get a third party in, and they got an Israeli firm in who managed to do it for them, and that was a 5C, which was basically on the level of encryption was below shit, and this is apparently a division that's got well past and into existing or the current OS.
Well, I mean, Tim Cook's statements or Apple's statements about when the FBI was asking them, well, you just give this to us, it won't get out. I guess who was right there?
we can't. We've already given it to the CIA.
Yeah.
The Israeli stuff got out, and now this got out.
Yeah.
So.
And I mean, the fact that you can get access to the phone is, I think, proven by the jailbreak community. So it's not surprising that the CIA is able to do that. I mean, that's said. How is this even used? I don't get it.
Who's got a crop duster flying outside the window?
I think that's me.
could be one that just flew by me. I'm not sure.
I'm in a bunker, so it's not me.
All I know, whatever happens, right, whatever it may be, whatever iOS they come out with, the next encryption is going to be huge. That's all I know. We'll get it broken.
Are you trying to be Christopher Walken there or something?
No, I'm trying to do something. Not really sure.
It's got to be you.
It was a Bostonian Trump. It was horrible.
Yeah.
Oh, that was Trump. Jesus Christ, dude.
It was horrible.
If you'd have done your Mickey Mouse, I'd have got a bit closer.
I know. Oh, you got to juice your lips more. You got to say huge. And you got to fling your little hands around.
And you do have to mention Gina at some point.
And you have to what? It can't be a good Trump impression without grabbing what?
Your hands.
Oh, that's different. That's different than Gina.
Paralyzed scrotum.
Oh, if I'm like
awesome band.
Yeah. Best band ever.
Moving on. I'm not going to do this. I was going to say, do people sleep easy with iOS, or is it just have we been thoroughly pummeled by the CIA to this point that there is not a device that you've bought in the last 2 years that you cannot get listened to on?
No.
No.
I mean, no. I mean, how do I put this? I'm at the point now where whatever they do does not surprise me.
Yeah. I mean, I think that has always been the case. If you want to do something, you will find a way. Mm-hmm. Simple as that.
Well, I'm under the impression that they don't want to hear jack shit I got to say anyway, so it doesn't really matter. Like, so many people are like bit and paranoid. And I'm like, bro, I can't even get you to come out to go to the bar with me on the weekends. You worry about the CIA spying on you? Like, I have to basically bribe your wife to let you out of the freaking house, and you think that somebody at the CIA really cares what's going on at your house. I mean, you know what I mean? Like, if anybody, of all of my friends, I'm the most corrupt, and I don't give a shit what they listen to of me. So, like, yeah, I don't care. I think it's scary if you're paranoid, but... What are they going to say? Oh, wow, that dude yells at the sitcoms on TV or yells at the dramas on TV. But I have a Sony, not a Samsung, so I don't care.
Here's the reality there's enough technology layers available to the public who would care about this that you can build your own security in. There's all kinds of things. If you really are concerned about this stuff, there's all kinds of things you can learn about. But the reality also is that most people that I know still, if they use a passcode at all, they use a 4-digit passcode. Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, it's probably 1234. So, like...
Or their birthday.
You know, but I mean, if you want to use encrypted email, if you want to use encrypted messaging, and if you want to use, you know, there are companies out there that provide all of the apps, all of the software, all the tools, all the technology. Yeah, it's a little bit tricky to figure some of it out, but it's really not super hard. So, mm-hmm. You know, I would say to anybody who's really concerned, I mean, Apple and even Google and Microsoft and everybody, they're doing the best they can to protect these things. But yeah, the government has a vested interest into figuring out how to get into them as well. I mean, to help with their jobs and everything else. And as far as, you know, what Doc's saying, are they spying on every American and listening into every conversation? I don't know. Maybe they're capturing it, but I doubt anybody's listening to most of it because it just doesn't matter.
Okay.
You can, so we have too many people. We're working on almost 300 million people.
Things change. You might be doing nothing right now this day that you think the government would care about, but the laws are rapidly changing. They're checking people's social media accounts as they come into the country, you know, demanding that they unlock their phone. And U.S. courts have said that a thumbprint is, you know, the police can demand that you unlock if you have a print ID on it. They can't require your password, but because the thumb is external, you have to open your phone. the government can suddenly become something, and I'm, you know, not trying to sound overly conspiratorial, but suddenly things like what you say on social media can matter.
Yeah. Yes.
I live in a country that has a past kids, with right? that. So, I mean,
we are quickly looking at a future like your past.
Yeah, exactly. So, you're absolutely right. Just think about it. Things that, 30 years ago we thought were okay. I mean, or 100 years ago were okay, can change. I mean, for example, trying to find a good example right now, like
the Stasi, East Berlin, 1950. They had voice recognition on. They tapped everyone's phone.
Yeah.
Well, okay. So we're burying the lead here too. The CIA doesn't operate on U.S. soil. Tapping U.S. citizens is a huge deal.
Don't you believe that? You honestly believe that, Rick?
That's what the NSA is for. No, I'm not talking about...
That's what the NSA is for. Sorry, Ron.
It's not that I believe... It's not that I believe it's a principled organization that is following those rules, but to put that kind of power into a government organization that is technically not supposed to even have it...
Do that, yeah. Yeah.
That to me is, that's his biggest story, is the fact that they're watching you through your own phone.
The thing that really bothers me with all of this is not the fact that they can do it, because I think it's a good thing that they can do it. I think the bad thing is the lack of judicial oversight.
Well, the CIA, since the OSS conversion, isn't technically under government oversight in any way.
Well, they still have to get their money from government, don't they? And they still have to go before a select committee, et cetera, the equivalent of a select committee, house committee, or whatever it is.
There's not a lot of they are funded by the government, but there's not a lot of judicial oversight required for the CIA. But they're also not supposed to be doing anything to Americans.
I mean, we're heading down a path where I think that the important thing is, I mean, how my thing about this is, how does this matter to me or our audience or people who might be listening to this? And I think the reality is yes, we should be critical. We should be mindful. We should be understanding of this stuff and what's going on and aware of it. We should also, if we're concerned about it, be figuring out the technology and things. We should take responsibility for protecting ourselves, I guess. I get a little frustrated when people are like, well, Apple has a responsibility or some corporation has a responsibility to protect my data and our information and keep me from these guys. It's great if they do. And Apple has stated that that's, and have through their actions shown that that's part of their mission. So that's great. That's another reason.
Which is not putting them in opposition with Trump in the slightest.
Well, politics aside, this is what I'm trying to get to, is like, why does this matter to me? Why should I care about this stuff? I care because I like Apple, and Apple's doing everything they can to help keep my data safe and protect it and allow me to control my privacy. Awesome. Those are the things that we should be looking for. And we should be, if you're concerned about this stuff, you should be critical of your government and stuff. Like, I think that's great. You should jump in and have your voice heard and all that stuff. But, beyond that, what are you going to do?
Deep Pan in the chat room has gone from hero to zero in two lines of entry. He's put BTN should be selling a line of tinfoil hats, never mind the paralyzed scrotum t-shirts. And then he's put a link in for the Daily Mail. If you post a link, I'm close to kicking the dude out of the chat room. No one, you post a link up on the Daily Mail, I'm sorry, mate, you're gone. You've been warned.
Is that your guys' Fox News or worse?
Oh, worse, mate. The Daily. Well, the nickname for the Daily Mail is the Daily Fail. So, it's just pure middle class racist hate. It's just,
the Daily Mail was the source of a lot of the fake news during our own election.
Yeah, it's shit.
To Adam's point, I mean, the one thing we shouldn't forget is that we actually want our governments to be able to access that information for certain groups of people. I mean, we are asking them to protect us. So we are asking them to have this capability. And this is, this leak, what we're seeing is exactly that. They are making sure that they can fulfill what they were asked to do.
I agree with that to a point, but then it gets to another point too, where we're asking them to do this, and thank you very much. But there's always one guy, it seems, and I'm sure that there is, particularly at the NSA, that says, I don't give a shit.
Yeah.
I mean, that's literally what they're saying. Yeah, I don't give a shit. go for it. You know, I don't give a shit. Whatever it takes. That's where the oversight needs to be. Unfortunately, I don't know if in our lifetime if we're ever going to see it.
Yeah.
And again, that comes back to my point is I'm not trusting somebody else with, you know, I'm going to make my own decisions about my privacy and what I want to protect and how I'm going to protect it and the technologies that I'm going to choose to use to protect that and when and where and stuff like that. And I'm going to be responsible for that stuff because, the government, you know, if some guy does go rogue, I want to be protected from that guy.
Mm-hmm. Kyle, just look to your right, mate. You're right.
My right or your right?
You're right. Okay. That's an F-22 Raptor, mate, right there. They've sent those out. They've scrambled those now, so that it's been good, mate. If you get shot down, then at least your last words will be on BTN.
Yeah, I don't give a shit.
The sun never sets on BTN, but it might set on Kyle tonight. Apple Retail has ended Genius Bar training in Cupertino. Moves to in-store web seminars instead.
That hits home personally.
Yeah, and see, I thought this would be a good story because there's a first question is, the Genius Bar for Apple is the best thing they ever did, and Steve Jobs thought it wouldn't work. Twat. Mm-hmm. So I think it's the best thing that they've got. It's that they're the people that I know in Apple stores more than anyone else. And I know, and I've spoken to a couple of people, and they haven't told me what they've done, but a couple of them have been pulled away to Cupertino for long-term projects to help out with stuff. And I didn't know if this was setting this up, perhaps, as a possibility, and what that's going to do to the end result of the service that you get, the Genius Bar at the end, whether it's going to be improved or whether it's going to be reduced.
When I first saw the story, like, I did a double take and then immediately texted Rome, and he was texting me the same thing at the same time. Like, we were reading the same story. He and I are both ex-genies. And the thing already is, I feel, I don't even have the right word for it because I'm not that emo, but I get a little upset when I go to the Genius Bar now just at the quality of the service that they do currently, knowing where it came from. Now, I'm not saying it's horrible. It's still better than what anybody else is doing, but it has definitely come down a lot. So if we were going to give it a number and say that way, when I was in and we were 80-90%, I would say the cats right now are somewhere around 60-70%. And that's a far dump, you know, like the stuff that they can handle has been reduced because of the litigious nature of our country. The way they handle situations is a little bit, I don't know, it's just gone far downhill. So taking the idea of going away for a month to get this hands-on training and then leaving you stuck to just doing it a la lynda.com, that doesn't make you a genius anymore. You're like any other bloke that could read YouTube.
Yeah. There are several things to that. I mean, one, if you are an authorized service provider or Jerome, for example, you do this or you have been doing this already. You learn how to service Macs and other devices via online.
Jerome's a bad example because he went to Cupertino for a month.
Correct. Because he was an Apple genius. But if you're a service provider, so some third party, you don't go to Cupertino. So I think that's a separate story. I think the amount of work that they are doing in store is also getting less and less. I mean, the Apple Watch is not serviced at all. That's simply sent back. For the iPhone, I've seen more and more that they simply replace the entire thing because there are no big, even Apple Genius serviceable parts in there. The MacBook's the same. I mean, it's getting to a point where it's probably they're doing less and less. So it's technically possible. Do I like that idea? Definitely not, because I think what's more important for Apple and for the, for Apple as a company and as a having a culture is that people that work for Apple connect with the company, also in the retail stores, especially in the retail stores, because those are the people that are the brand or whatever you want to call them, ambassadors of Apple, really, because they are interacting with customers. And there, I think that's what that's the biggest part that we'll be missing. But the technical part, learning how to use things, how to do all the repairs, I think that is, you can learn that just a la what Doc called Linda. But the as I said, ambassadorship, that's, I think, gonna get
that. That's true, because once you go to campus for your training, you definitely feel more tied into the wool, so to speak. Like, that is definitely a grounding foundation. And that was pretty much one of the most epic experiences of my life, and I've traveled all around the world. But living at campus for a month was the bomb, absolutely.
Yeah, but I mean, do you want the guy that is servicing your Mac or your iPhone, if they are doing it in-store, to be the guy that this is the first one he's cracked open since watching a video, or this is the guy that went to Cupertino and was in a room with that same Mac and did the repair and was critiqued, and you know what I mean? So there is a quality exactly difference too.
We don't even know whether that is true. I mean, I know I don't know about the US, but I know here in Europe, for example, Apple has training centers where they do that, where they have those machines and where you crack them open, even as a service provider. So maybe that is the solution, that they're not going to Cupertino, but to some other service center somewhere for the hardware part. But the software part, you can definitely learn just on your own.
Now,
some people do better, actually, when they...
Something that Doc said, because I have a question for you, Doc. So when you're talking about the Genius Bar and you're talking about the service, are you talking about the quality of the repair service or just the quality of the interaction with the Genius and sort of what they can do for you and things like that?
I'm going to go as far as to say the quality of the Genius, and I'm going to go as far as to say this under probably... categorized under shit I shouldn't say, but I'm gonna say it anyway. When I was in, I was one of the highest paid geniuses in the country. Why? Because at that time they seeked out people who were in the tech industry and had some, what's the word I'm looking for, like experience, right? And they brought us in, they made us geniuses, and we kind of righted the ship from there. What happened when I was leaving is, in any retail store, the head boss, the person that runs like 5 or 6 stores, they get bonuses based off of 2 things. Their regular salary, inventory reduction, meaning if nobody steals anything, you get bonuses because you have a pretty tight ship. You also get money on payroll reduction, which nobody wants to admit, but every retail organization does this. So what I found was when I left, instead of replacing me with somebody of my caliber, they put in 3 of me at the gap salary, right? We got more bodies, but those 3, and I hate, I'm not even trying to be cocky, those 3 could not even do what I do to this day. But they go into the Genius and they become the guy who checks people in, or they become the guy that only touches iPhones. Like, really stupid stuff like that. And then after a while, they sort of get this on-the-job training and they sort of work their way up the snuff. Yeah. And then so... part of that is, to me, we have lost, and granted, the whole culture right now, there's not a lot of kids that like come in like we were when we were kids, where we were all about screwdriving things and putting things together, whatever. A lot of the new talent doesn't even like to do stuff like that. They know the knowledge of a very specific thing, but cats like me or cats like Brett, who knows everything about all kinds of different stuff, doesn't exist anymore. We're starting to get very specialized people. Like, there'll be somebody who's really, really good at graphics and they don't know nothing else. Like, they can't even do the security on their computer, but they can run circles around you in Photoshop. That specialist thing is becoming more normal than the jackass of all trades, like all of us on the panel.
But I mean, is that because of sort of what Patrice is saying, where those are more the things that consumers are coming in for? They're like, how do I use this iPad? What can I do with it? Those sorts of training things versus, you know, the Genius just needs to go, oh yeah, it's broken, let me check it in and send it back to the repair depot. You'll get it back.
Yeah, but see, you could find all that on the internet anyway. So training them over the internet doesn't seem so bad to me. I worked 15 years as a remote worker, and I think it's better than working in an office. I've defeated AppleCare on so many machines I can't even count. I've replaced cameras in iPhones. I've replaced batteries in MacBook Airs, hard drives in minis. I've destroyed multiple computers. I learned all of that sitting at home. I don't think I live 2 hours away from the nearest Genius Bar, so I never go there. Yeah. I guess I have a slightly different perspective on the whole thing. But
and you hate people.
Same here. I like you guys a lot.
We're getting to the point of where this is kind of, you guys are bringing up the things where I kind of have made sense of what Apple is doing here. I mean, they're running a retail location and costs and things like that. They've been slowly doing this over the past couple of years from a number of stories. It's not just this story. They keep cutting back on certain things. My only concern on what they're cutting back on is not maybe necessarily the Genius's ability to like go in and replace the screen on an iMac as much as it is just the customer interaction, the customer support, their ability to provide certain things. And I think, like was mentioned earlier, I think the connection to Apple, you know, like feeling good about the company is a big part of, you know, does this employee, are they happy in this store, or is this just another retail job? And if it's just another retail job, they're going to start to get this attitude of, oh, well, this isn't that great. I'm not going to stick around that long. I really don't care that much about this stuff. So why should I care about, you know, the customer's experience and stuff like that? And I do feel like some of that is coming through. And I think it's because of some of these other sort of cost saving things. Like that would be a big deal to me as like someone who wanted to work at an Apple retail store. Hey, you get to go to Cupertino for 2 weeks and have this great experience. And it's not so much about the training and what you get out of there. It's the experience that you get and doing little mock things where you're pretending to interact with customers. Yeah, it seems kind of goofy, but at the end of the day, I think it can make that person better at interacting when they're in the actual store.
And I mean, as someone, I'm not even sure it's about cost saving. As someone who is, I mean, in his day job, thinking a lot about scaling things to a global scale. It is very hard for Apple, and they are adding more and more and more Apple stores, retail stores. They need more and more Geniuses. And maybe they are simply at a point where this system that worked perfectly before simply doesn't scale anymore because they need, a lot of people in Cupertino and have to fly everybody in from all around the world. And it's simply getting to a point where that is not feasible anymore. And they have to look at something that does scale better to a global, to a really big global scale.
And yeah, but they could do the same thing regionally. I mean, especially in the larger countries where they have a larger presence. And I assumed they were doing it regionally already. I didn't assume that everybody from Europe was getting flown to Cupertino.
I don't know, to be honest. Could be.
There's quite a few do fly it. I know that for a fact. So.
Can I give you one thing that I got to say, sort of connecting to what Adam said, is real fast. The moment that you knew you were a member of the Fruit Farm, and this is so cheesy, yet still one of the craziest experiences of my life. So we walk into the town center, right? And you spend like an hour or so getting your badge, and you see like five or six people in the process, and yeah, no biggie, like, okay, hey, I'm at campus, it's cool. You're like looking around, you're checking out all the photos on the wall, and you can't move from this place because you don't have the permission yet. When you get your badge and you walk past the magic sensor, it opens and closes doors according to your level of security on your badge. So the host walks about 13 of us into this room, and the door opens, and you are greeted by like 4,000 employees clapping you in. Bruh, that was the most orgasmic experience I probably had in my life, because it was super shocked. You weren't ready for it. You know, when I worked in radio, I used to MC big concerts. I knew there was 10,000 people out in the arena, you know, waiting to see, you know, Run DMC or whomever. But to walk into a room that I didn't even know what was on the other side of the door, and there's 4,000 people clapping you in, and there's your name on a 108-inch freaking screen, or whatever the size of theater screen is, and your name is right there, and your little badge ID, and it says, welcome to Apple. Bro, it gives me chicken skin to talk about it. Like, that's the stuff that these guys are going to get, and that's what marries you to your company, so that you have the culture and you have the background. I mean, yes, it's a cult. Abso-freaking-lutely, but not all cults are bad.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. You know, there is a cult of Apple.
No, I'm answering D-Pan, was trying to be a smartass, so I just took the smartass right out of his mouth.
Yeah, no, I think, I said the other week, didn't I, you know, if you're a negative management firm, if you're a cynical for management, then that ends up bleeding through to all your staff, and all your staff are cynical. And I don't see that in Apple stores.
No.
I don't see
not
it
yet.
At all. No, I don't see it. And it would have been
That's where the concern is, sorry. Just taking these things away little by little, you know, these little things can maybe erode that.
It's
that's
start to add up.
Sorry.
Yeah.
What we don't know is what Apple is doing in addition to that. I mean, it might be that they have instituted something else where they get the same results, but do it differently, and we simply haven't heard about it. So I hate to make this point, but I mean, as I said, I'm doing this right now, even with something that we are scaling to global. So sometimes you have to have a combination of a couple of things that work together to get the same results. So it's hard to say, really.
It's more time will tell. I mean, we're going to find out over the next few years just how well it is implemented or not. But I agree with Adam on that point, though. I don't want Apple to lose that.
Yes.
Because that's one of the main things that makes them so different. I mean, going into Best Buy or going into Apple, I mean, the hell's a better experience, so...
How would you know?
I
of course, you've just been to Hong Kong. Sorry, oh, yes. my mistake. And you're on the way back from Hong Kong, hence the airline noise. Yes, do apologize.
Yeah,
spot on. I think the thing that's got to the thing that always echoes in my mind with that is I like what I get from Apple. It's something that I value greatly, and I don't want to have to do without that. And I've got people that I know in the Genius Bar and people I know in the stores, and I think they're good people, and I don't want that to change. And if this isn't going to let that change, then I'm fine with it. If it is going to make it change, then I'm not fine with it. Plain and simple.
Yeah.
We've had no reviews this week. If you'd like to give us a review, stick it in iTunes, and we'd be really grateful. It makes a world of difference to our ranking in iTunes. So please do that as well for the photo show. And we've got a lot of reviews from the photo show lately, which is why we've kind of boosted into the technology podcast charts in iTunes. News does very well. Carl does the news show every day for us on BTN.
Even from Hong Kong.
Even from Hong Kong, that's a staple now in the top podcasts in technology as well. So please keep giving us reviews. We have had a couple of emails, though, about last week's episode. Because if you remember, there was a very, very long conversation about...
only one topic, I think,
about
right?
Pros, yeah, exactly. The rest was no news. It was a bit shit, really. First one, Tom Partridge has put, quite possibly the most sensible conversation I've heard about the subject of Apple, around the subject of the Apple Pro ecosphere. Great show and thoroughly enjoyed the differing viewpoints. I agree with you, and he's put in brackets for once, bastard, that your definition of positive needs some work, however. And STW461 says, can't say that I've much sympathy with the pros who are whinging. I use the new MacBook Pro, and it's way faster than my last MacBook Pro, and no one was complaining about that one. He didn't put the year, though, so I don't know which MacBook Pro that was, but I'm guessing I don't know what, 2013, 2014? No? Okay. Thanks for writing.
I had a 2011, and I was fine with it. Again, it goes back to what we were talking about in that show. Everybody's definition of pro is going to be different.
Yeah.
Apple tops the tech support showdown list for the third consecutive year in Laptop Magazine.
Can we say that again?
What? It's only funny because we just got finished having the conversation, and then... Even with all of that, Apple's still better than everybody else, as somebody just mentioned.
Oh. No, that's just, it's just like, it says Laptop Magazine. It's just kind of like, who the f*** calls it a laptop anymore? And the other thing is like, it's like Apple tops tech support showdown for the third consecutive year in the Women's Institute magazine. It's like, I don't know, am I being unfair?
How about Cosmo?
I don't know, in the UK...
You're not being unfair, because every one of these studies, every one of these reports like this has a certain bias, you know? And I think the important thing for people to understand is like, okay, fine, take that, go in, read it, absorb it, and then, you know, analyze it for yourself. So I talk to my audience about this all the time. It's like, you know, even anything that's positive or negative, you should be questioning, and you should be like, okay, what is this really saying? What does this mean? And do I care?
Yeah, Okay.
So, I mean, that's the point for bringing that up, is that's great. I mean, that's great that they found that in their little study, but it's from a certain point of view, right? So take it as it is and don't add anything into it. And the problem is like, if you're going through your news feeds, you know, you're going to see this parroted and tweeted like it's the second coming and Apple's laptop, to, you know, customer service is the absolute best in the industry. And some people take that away from that. And that's not even what that article is saying. But they don't read past the headline and they don't, like, analyze it at all.
I love their laptop pros. They're awesome.
Laptop pros as in professionals or laptop pros as in little poems?
So Apple got 93%, right? Mm-hmm. Good score. 93%. Anything in the 90s has got to be awesome. Who was second best for tech support?
For laptops.
For laptops.
Dell.
Asus.
Acer.
That, that's what shocked me. No, Acer, sorry. Yeah.
Actually, yeah.
Acer. Asus was way down. Dell was way down as well. Microsoft, fourth. And they don't even make a laptop. Ish.
The Surface Book, right? Yeah, they must be counting the Surface Book.
Ish. Lenovo Book as well. Pro. But Acer, I thought Acer was quite telling. Because I think that's, even though I got the name wrong.
I haven't owned an Acer since like 2001.
I think they've been doing pretty well in the laptop space. And they've been doing some stuff in monitors and some other things. I think, yeah.
Don't they make one that looks exactly like a 2014 MacBook Air?
Probably, because most of them do.
And don't they have it in gold?
HP?
I just bought this, and I'm like, who the hell came up with the name? And this is for those listening on the radio, this is a Lenovo yoga book. And I was just like, yoga? Are you joking me? And they only did it because it does this.
And yeah, I'm like, it detaches as well.
Yeah, Brett can do that, but I don't know if I would call it a yoga book. It doesn't make any damn sense. But other than that, it's a really well-built machine. The touchscreen thing kind of irritating. Everyone's like waiting for, was Apple going to do it? I have it on this thing, and I don't really like it, but that could just be because Windows 10 touch experience is good, but not completely great. So,
you know who I've noticed really seems to like the touchscreen stuff? Because being self-employed, I'm in a lot of coffee shops. Marketing people really seem to like the touchscreen.
Yeah, right.
Notebooks.
Well, what's the theory on why then?
I think that I see them doing a lot of presentations. They like the flip around thing. You know, when they're doing little informal meetings, sometimes like they'll be meeting there. Yeah, yeah. You know, I think they like the, you know, kind of taking notes on it sort of stuff if it comes with a stylus. So that's really who I've seen mostly using them. It seems like sales and marketing people.
Okay.
I don't have a lot of hard evidence.
That's just observing people in coffee shops. So again, take that data point as it is and don't read more into it.
This could be plus or minus 100% accurate.
Right, exactly.
The only thing that bothers me is I don't like dirty screens, and so if you have to touch it and your little fingerprints all over the place, irritates me within like 10 minutes. I have super OCD about dirty screens.
The ultimate description of that has to go to Andy Anatko, who was talking about the new iPad when it first came out, and he said, it's fantastic, but after 10 minutes, it looked like you gave birth to it. And it's true, that's exactly what it looks like when you just did that and you showed me that thing there and you said Brett can do that. I'm thinking, what, Brett can get my email? Cool.
dog can do that. Do they make gloves? Like, I have winter gloves that I can use with my iPhone. They have conductive fingertips on them. Do they make like little kid gloves or white gloves for using your iPad? It just seems like that would be something that the truly anal retentive people would want.
That, except for I live where it's 90 degrees most days. I look really stupid.
Yeah, but I'm talking about a really light pair of like white, breathable, just not gloves so much as finger coverings.
And they'd have to be white to show your OCD.
Right, of course.
Can we call them like Jeeves, Jeeves?
The jewelry store people, you can buy that kind of stuff because the jewelry store guys, they put them on before they bring out some of the sort of high-end jewelry. So I should hit up some of my friends that work at the Ben Bridge here, which is the Rolex joint, and ask them to give me some gloves. But it's going to be really funny when I get one of the gloves stuck in my CNC machine and lose a finger.
So I mean, Deep Pan has coined it, mate. It is finger condoms.
Yeah. It sounds like there's a market there.
There is. I think he's right. And you're onto something, man.
Finger grab condoms. The
domain. Also, can we call it CDO because I prefer it in alphabetical order?
Okay.
No, Deep Pan, I would go to UK2 and see if you can find fingercondoms.com because that's got to be.
Yeah, be careful Googling buying. That.
Oh my God, that is the best.
I'm going to do OCD that in a minute.
Joke I've ever heard. And I swear, I can't believe I've never heard that because it's so simple, but it's funny.
Oh, you're kidding me. Cotton finger condoms and Amazon link straight in there from Bronwyn.
Oh, man.
And you can even put...
Tapped market.
This is not a euphemism, by the way. You can even put your rings back on afterwards. finger cots. Cotton finger guard, elastic finger protection, pack of 10, $12.
Are they conductive? Can you? I have to think they are.
How about if we make them blue and go after the firefly market?
I don't know, but they're called finger gloves, and they make you look like you've got vibration white finger, like you've been using like vibrating hand tools, which maybe you have in a different, and that's a different website entirely.
That's so hilarious.
Carl's gone. Carl's plane's crashed. The F-22 Raptor's finally got him.
It's in the Pacific.
He's unleashed a Sidewinder and he's in the Indian Ocean. No, he's all right. He's back. He's okay.
Volleyball.
I was Googling finger condoms.
You were Googling them?
Yeah.
I thought you deployed countermeasures, mate.
It's a cornered market. It's a sad thing.
Apple Pay launches in Ireland for Ulster Bank and Italy but not Germany. Patrice?
Or the Philippines.
The Philippines, Jesus Christ.
Did it launch or is it launching?
Launching. Launches. Okay. It says launches, 14th.
Oh, launches.
Ireland is the 14th country to accept Apple Pay services. There you go. If you've got an iPhone SE, a 6, 6S, 6 Plus, 6S Plus, 7, 7 Plus, or a brain, then you can use it if you're paired with your Apple Watch as well.
Mm-hmm. And you're an Oyster customer, right?
Which brings the current list for Apple Pay to US, UK, China, Australia, Canada, Switzerland. Switzerland, that's got to really sting, Patrice. France, oh man, that's got to sting even worse.
Yes.
Hong Kong, Russia, Singapore, Japan, New Zealand, and Spain.
Spain.
So which country, I mean, at the moment it's pretty bad, mate, isn't it? It's pretty bad that Germany's not included.
Yep.
But which country is going to come out that really, really stings, like Botswana or something like that?
Azerbaijan.
Philippines. Philippines.
When's that?
Thanks, Patrice.
Poland. Oh, that's got to be the worst one. Yeah, Poland gets Apple Pay before Germany.
What about Turkmenistan? Brett's going to get his own country and have Apple Pay because he keeps calling himself.
Could happen, actually.
Patrice, if Poland gets Apple Pay before you, there's a reason to visit.
To visit again, yeah.
Does Belgium have Apple Pay?
I think so, yeah.
They don't know because no one's awake. They're all bored to death because they're Belgian. Sorry, Bart. I'm going to get emails. By the way, CW720, if you want to send me an address, I'll be sure to send it on to my solicitor so he can sue you, you tosspot. There we go. I might bleep tosspot, but then again, I might not. Rubber conductive powder.
What?
That would go great with those finger condoms.
Bronwyn is well down a googling path via Amazon that's not going to come out. That picture's crap. It looks like a pile of pop balloons.
It probably
I think that's just the stuff that you can just put on anything to make it conductive, right? So the idea is you can make your own stylus or your own gloves. They have like stuff you can paint on gloves now. I think that'll make them capacitive.
It's Doc's condom.
Send me that link. DJing. I need to buy that.
For the paint.
At least
on
we know
stuff?
Adams.
Huh? It's Doc's condom pile when he's DJing.
I have been known to throw them out thing, into the audience.
Oh, throw them out into the audience. Got you, mate. Yeah, got you. iPhone 8 could reportedly be called the iPhone Edition. Who gives a shit?
That's true, though.
The thing I'm
saying...
They could call it the iPhone 3GS and I wouldn't care.
Well, first of all, right, so it's now the 10th of March and I was expecting that there'd be an event... Maybe Monday, Tuesday. No, not a chance. No invites for events in March so far, which is like, oh, hang on, maybe there isn't something coming in March like we thought there was.
Yeah.
And the other thing I've thought about the iPhone 8 is, well, why would they run the risk of having, I think there is nothing else coming apart from another iPhone in the general upgrade cycle, because there's no sense in Apple releasing two things in the same year, because no one's going to buy the first, because they're waiting for the second. Mm-hmm. I mean, discuss. Jesus.
You know me. Start I just let the rumors go fast and furious and try to ignore them so there is no disappointment when whatever comes out, comes out. Whatever comes out, comes out. I'm going to buy it anyway because that's part of our job. I think Adam and I are, you know, feel somewhat the same about that. It has to be really, really crappy not to get bought. And I just wish people would... I swear I say this every time I sound like a broken record, but I really miss Christmas. I really miss having an announcement, getting excited for a week, and then going and buy it without knowing all of the crap so that we didn't turn and say, oh, the announcement was anticlimactic because they didn't introduce nothing we didn't already know. I just hate that combination of conversation. It drives me freaking batty.
There's a way around that, Doc. You can unplug your modem to the World Wide Web.
Same happening because I can't get porn fed to me without the internet. So,
can send you some.
Doc lives in a porn fed internet world.
I just wish people would just enjoy freaking what's coming and let it come and leave it alone.
Yeah. Doc, that would be a shit podcast. Not that this is any better, but.
Well, okay, so I'll give you a
So let's account. Deal with iPhone. Yeah, well, we'll let's deal with Apple rumors.
Every week, nothing.
We're not going to cover Apple rumors. What the hell are we going to talk about for 51 weeks of the year?
Okay, see, speculation is one thing, right? Spreading rumors from these leaks that are half the time inaccurate, half the time accurate is a different thing. And, yeah, I mean, there's a way to have your wish list and have conversations about your wish list, which I think we do. I think we do a good job of it. We don't really spread the rumors too far. If something crazy comes up, we'll push it all the way down. If it's salient, then we'll say, okay, maybe it has some legs. But we'll kind of discuss the reasons around it, and that's okay. Mm. But, I mean, the guys like Sonny Dickhead or whoever's out there getting, you know,
Sonny Dickhead.
From somebody that they shouldn't be getting pictures from and spreading it around. I think it affects people's jobs. I honestly think that the level of Apple leakage, not to be confused with the drug interactions of some psychological drugs, I think that it has it can actually screw with people's jobs. It really can. Just like when a ref makes a bad call in sports, people get fired over that crap and they keep the ref the next game. To me, I don't like it. That's all. I don't know a better way to explain it.
How do you feel about the stuff that's done by Apple?
If Apple does it, that's their job. That's cool with them. I mean, they're supposed to. They're trying to add excitement or whatever. But it's the people that are going around sneaking through back channels and doing what Gurman used to do. I was his biggest proponent because I just thought it was not helpful to the conversation.
He still does. He's just at a different place.
Yeah, I've turned him off because that's what Kyle told me to do. Like, I just completely ignore him. The sad part is my friends like Renee will pick up crap that Gurman says and he'll put it there. And I'm like, damn it, Renee, stop that shit.
Yeah.
I love Renee. I just wish she would stop that shit.
To be a podcast. You got to make a podcast of that talk. Sunny Dickheads, Apple Rumors, something. Sunny Dickheads, Apple Rumors.
There is one. I have one.
Yes, yes. Patrice
I
has
do
one.
That exactly.
Yeah. And I was supposed to be a part of it, but I can't wake up that freaking early.
Yeah.
On Sunday.
The only thing that Patrice doesn't cover on that podcast is when apple pie is coming to Germany, of course.
Then it would be a short show.
The endless speculation.
No.
I tell you what, if the Philippines gets it before that, it's going to be one riotous show.
Yes.
Yeah, and I'm going to freaking gloat to the end of the earth, man. Finally.
Yeah.
I don't know. Okay, so I'm going to throw this out there. Brett, as the smartest person on the panel, how say you?
On what?
Brett.
Rumors?
on the rumors and all that crap, because you didn't say Jack this whole time. So I just wonder how you feel.
I used to write for, you know, Apple blogs, and I appreciated that Tua avoided rumors. Like, if it came from 9to5 Mac in that era, they'd, you know, just squash it right away. I am to a point now where I can effectively tune them out. I'll hear what people are saying, but then the keynotes happen and I don't even want, the keynotes have lost their magic for me, because now it's bingo. Now you're waiting to see which one of the rumors are true. And, you know, everything's going to be picked apart to death, you know, in the months before anything's available for purchase. And things have changed. I think Apple works with it to some extent. They kind of have to, but that's like you said, it's always been like this, though.
Yeah. So I really think I have my stance because of the time at Tua, because that was our thing. Victor was like, hell no, we ain't talking about it. So maybe I'm the way I am because of that. I mean, we come from the same farm.
Fair enough. Okay, we'll take that policy change then as well. In which case...
I don't know. Tua shut down now, so maybe it wasn't the right decision.
It already that you have me and Steve on way too often. So you're next, buddy. My favorite thing is when people used to write in and call us Tuots. I used to get a kick out of it. Everybody else hated it, but I just thought it was funny. Mm.
You have a thicker skin. That's one thing you develop blogging at a place like that.
Thick skin from being born black.
If people are not calling you names, you're not doing something right.
Yeah, no, right, absolutely. Yeah. The first person.
Damn, you're doing it perfectly, bro.
Mate, the abuse I get, I know I'm absolutely on the edge. I'm the cutting edge.
Yeah, and that's just from the panel.
No, I mean, you look at... The essence of most of the reviews that we get is great show, but the host's a twat.
That's why you're successful, Ewan.
Yeah.
That's how you know you've made it.
Oh, man.
No, I got to win some laughing too much.
I wouldn't mind, but that was what they said on the photography show as well.
Consistency.
True. That's what I see. Bronwyn has gone on for even further down the rabbit hole. She's now come up with proper condoms for your fingers. These are conductive finger cots.
Finger cots.
Finger cots.
Oh, okay.
And you can get the cots. And you can get them at fingercots.net.
What the hell?
And I'm sure for some of you with the more extreme fetishes, you can use them with certain professional ladies that live near you. they're like fishnets for your legs, aren't they?
I posted the links for Brett in there too for the nano tips.
Yeah, but that was just too, that was on, too that was too boring
material.
That was great, but I just couldn't take the piss out of it. Sorry.
No. But others might be interested, so they know where to find the links, right?
Yeah.
British Tech Network/chat.
Yeah, British Tech Network/chat, and you can find all the shit that Bronwyn found.
Oh, my God.
Oh, and really the sensible funny. Stuff, as well as.
Oh, man. Oh, God. This is hilarious. Oh, I can't stop laughing.
The Big Show last week, if you haven't listened to it, you've got to go and listen to it. It was absolute classic. Moved by myself by Paralyzed Scrotum, and it was just absolutely superb. We started off on Scrotox, which is apparently a thing now where blokes seem to want to go and get their scrotum injected with Botox, which I don't get personally in the slightest. But it's a new animal that's taken on a new lease of life. So there we go.
I can tell you that Paralyzed Scrotum is a big hit in our office.
Oh, really? Have we got a new fan base?
Yeah.
And I just wanted to announce, actually, live and exclusive actually here now, that the band will be reforming for the Bash this year.
Wow.
They will be playing, Paralyzed Scrotum will be playing at the Bash, I promise you.
Cool.
Definitely. This podcast and all this is brought to you by, I shouldn't have done that really just before the sponsors thing, should I?
No,
maybe not.
After this, we won't have any sponsors.
No. UK2.net. Please support them because they're absolutely awesome. They support this rubbish, and they have done for nearly the last 10 years now. We're 9 years in, and they've just extended for another 9 years. So they will have supported all of this rubbish for 18 years at some point. I may not even live to see the end of that contract. I could be dead from a heart attack one Friday afternoon. They're awesome. You've got to look after them because they look after us. We don't pick up a penny in charges. The server that we've got, because of the size that it is, we've got 3 terabytes of rubbish up there, and UK2 keep it. And it's they back it up as well, which so there's 6 terabytes up there somehow.
Yeah.
The server package that we have would cost us £400 a month, but UK2 just pick up the bill. It's fine. All the domains are picked up by them. And the thing is, if you want anything for the web, dedicated servers, VPS, VPN, co-location services, domain names, all that kind of stuff, UK2 are the people to get it from. Please, please, please make sure if you do nothing else this week that you tweet out, thanks UK2 for supporting At British Tech, because without them, we wouldn't be peddling this rubbish in the slightest. And also, tweet out to Hoya, Hoya_UK on Twitter. They're brilliant. They're going to got the Uniku stuff is coming on April 1st. We'll be able to go and get that sorted out. And also, the Avantech glasses, the ones that I wear during the show, they're still available for everyone. If you want any Hoya services, or if you want to inquire about Hoya services, if you write to podcast@hoya.co.uk, they will get back in touch with you. They will help you with whatever your inquiry is, but they do not keep your email address for the purposes of sending you rubbish afterwards. You get responded to that one query. If you then walk away, your email is deleted. You will not be getting advertising rubbish from them on a weekly basis. They promised us that. So well worth checking out Hoya because they make great stuff. I mean, the glasses are awesome. And if you've got an existing pair of frames and you think, oh, I just want some Hoya lenses for them, go see them. They'll get them done for you. It's not a problem. No worries at all. And the Fantasy Photos League is still running. Yes, we're a week in now, 10 days into March. Construct is this month's topic. If you'd like to use your camera and get in there and take a picture and have a go and send it in, we've had a couple of entries in already for the month. And it's great. We're having a wonderful time. We're waiting on the scores from Hannah Cousins for the February one, but no, Hannah Cox used to do like a show here in the UK. I can't remember what it was. And Evans, you wait for this, Kyle. Someone even voted for your picture.
Sweet.
You've got one. You've got one vote this month.
Whee. somebody sees my style. I'm happy.
It's not me.
Maybe I accidentally voted for myself. I don't remember.
No, you're not allowed to. I'd have rejected it. You can't do it. Time for the cool things. Then starts off Doc.
All right. I know we did this already, but I have to do a redo because the service is live now, and I used it this week to some pretty amazing setup. We talked about setup like when it first came out, when it was in beta. I believe I was the person that brought it to the attention of others. And just, it went live at the first of the month, which was like a week ago. But one of the craziest things happened. I was helping a friend/client resolve some really horrible network issues. And I just so happened to have my lappy with me. And so we went and I busted out the NetSpot and Wi-Fi Explorer. Now, if it wasn't for said app, I'd be probably, I think, close to $200 in on these apps, because one is like $150 and one is like $49. But with those two apps, basically, that I get now for what, some like two cups of coffee a month, and a bunch of other great apps in there.
Including mine?
Including Brett's. I was going to ask you a question about that if you're allowed to later. If not, we'll save it for offline. I was able to solve this problem, and we basically took down the network and rearranged it. And it just so happens that there was a thing blocking in one of the walls that you wouldn't know if you didn't have a cool site survey app like NetSpot. And literally moving the AP access point probably like a foot and a half completely changed the whole Wi-Fi in Dude's office. Like, now everything connects with no problem, no more drop calls. You can still use the internet, you know, and watch the pinch when he's on the spot. Like, it's amazing. And just back in the day, it wouldn't have been as easy to do such, because I probably would have looked at this and went, oh, $100? Are you high? And just kept dicking around with it. So it's definitely worth a look at again. And I know we don't normally like to repeat picks, but the cool thing about SetApp is since I brought it up the first time, they've added like 10 more apps. So they're always adding new apps. So it's great for us. We have speculated that it's great for the developers, and now we have a developer here. So what do you say? Is it good for you? You like it?
I don't know yet. It only the paid part of it only went live recently enough that we haven't really seen. Thus far, the metrics look good.
Oh, cool. All right. Anyway, I think it's amazing. And we would love to hear your input later, Brett, like how it's working out for you. Because I think this concept is better than I used to always buy all of those damn bundles and pick like two or three things out of it that I like, and the rest of it would just go into rubbish. But this is way better than a bundle.
I think it's a great idea. At this point, I'm super, super excited about it.
Yeah. That's good. Excellent. So take a look at it. SetApp.com.
Give it. Adam, what have you got for us?
I'm going to pick something, and I hope I don't steal someone's pick. This came out. I saw this week and realized this is immediately something that I needed. If you're a developer like me, or you're a person who uses multiple email clients or multiple web browsers and use them for different things, for example, every week when I come to do this show, I open up Textual and I click the link for British Tech Network /live. And I want that to open in Chrome. But as many people know, you can only assign one browser as your preferred browser. This app is called Bumper, B-U-M-P-R, getbumper.com. And what it does is you set this app up as your default browser, and it sort of intercepts, actually your default browser and your default email client if you'd like, and it intercepts any links that you click in Twitter, in your email app, in Textual, and then pops up right in place a little menu that lets you pick whichever browser or email client you want to open that link in.
That's nice.
It's a simple little thing. Some people might not like it because it does, you know, it's like an intercept. It's one extra click. But for me, there's a lot of times where if it's a video link, I want to open it in Chrome because I don't want to deal with, you know, if it's not Flash or something like that. And this saves time. So it's a little thing. It runs in the menu bar. You can tell it which browsers, which email clients you want to have it access. And the UI is done really, really well. And right now, I think they just launched it. It's half off in the App Store. So I want to say it's $3.99 US, so $4.
Excellent.
You know, Choosy Andy. Still works, right?
Which one?
Choosy.
No, I don't know. I don't know that.
It came out years ago, but it lets you set up rules, and it does the same thing, intercepts links, and then it'll pop up a little, like, visual selection of the browsers you have defined for that kind of link.
Oh, nice.
Same thing. Very cool.
Stick as a link.
Choosy.
Does it work for email as well?
Yeah, you can add email as a browser, but then you'd have to make custom rules, so it probably takes a little more setup. And cool. I don't know what the lifespan of it's going to be.
Excellent. Cool, so you got two to choose from there. Brilliant. Excellent, mate. Good pick. Patrice, what have you got for us?
Since Doc stole my pick. No, that's fine. No, it's okay. I had to scramble to find something else. My pick this week is Rocket Chat. You're probably very familiar with Slack, which is an awesome service. But every now and then, either you need something that is, I mean, simply more customizable, you want to host your, on your own, or, I mean, in my case, our company, we simply can't use Slack because it's hosted in the US and there are some data protection laws and stuff in place here that prevents us from doing that. Rocket Chat is
an open source.
Sorry?
And they won't give you Apple
they
Pay.
They won't give you Apple Pay.
They won't give me Apple Pay, correct. Rocket Chat is an open source clone. I actually contributed to it myself, and I keep doing that there. It's really, really awesome. It's being developed, actively developed. I mean, I think every week they have a new release or something, or every couple of weeks, 2 weeks or so. But it's really cool. It's feature-wise, I would say, almost identical with Slack now. They have some really nice additional features that I really like the live chat feature, for example, that you can embed in your website. So if you have a need, and it's really easy to install. It's a Node.js app, so it's very, very simple to install. Node.js and MongoDB, I think they're using in the background. But the live chat feature is really awesome because you can embed that in your website, and then your customers can send you questions they have about products, and you can see where they were navigating, what site they're coming from, and things like that. So there's some tracking included. And it's free. So, I mean, it's open source. It's a free app. Really awesome.
The CSS tricks on the website is pretty kick-ass.
Yeah.
Excellent. Good man. Thank you very much. Kyle, what have you got for us, mate?
I've kind of got an oldie, but it's kind of a new twist on an oldie. You know, we're all familiar with Flex, and I've been using Flex a lot now for a few months since I switched over to Chromecast. But they've came out with something. They had this for a while with Amazon, and then they kind of went away, which is the Flex Cloud service. Well, now they've integrated it now with Dropbox, OneDrive, and Google Drive. And I tried it out just today. Uploaded a few things to see how well you can stream. Basically, now you don't even need a computer running all the time with Flex on it. It just runs in the cloud. And you access your cloud from whatever device you got. And lo and behold, it streams perfectly, even on my crap connection here in the Philippines. Once you start the stream, it's like streaming Netflix. It works amazingly. You can do it with anything. It's basically a Flex server, but it's in the cloud. And I'm just really, really amazed with it. And I'm really glad they actually finally decided to go with the other cloud services other than with Amazon, which I guess they're now no longer a part of.
Yeah. You got to have Pass, though, which is still cool.
Yes, you got to have Pass, yeah. That's just what I signed up just to see how this would work, actually. And
how much is Pass?
It's $40
a year or $120 for life.
Oh, right. That's cool.
You can do $120 a life, yeah.
And Adam, you bought the life, yeah?
Yeah, but I bought it when it was 70. I think I paid $70.
Oh, man.
Yeah. I think I paid like 70 or 100.
Early adopter.
Yeah.
But what I love about it, it just works flawlessly. I wasn't expecting it to work like it did, and it does. Just, it's really, really good.
Excellent. Good pick, man.
The best thing about Plex that kind of goes unnoticed, I believe, is the music side of it. I mean, because everyone knows about it for watching TV shows and whatnot. But I seriously contemplated getting rid of Apple Music because literally I can just connect my DJ hard drive to the Plex, and now with Plex Cloud. And I can basically do the same thing I have with Apple Music, but with my own library, which is teetering in somewhere in the neighborhood of about 1.75 terabytes worth of, you know, music and remixes and whatnot. And like you said, it's pretty flawless. And I love the fact that when I get ready to go on a plane, I can just say this, and just preload it to my iPad. And, you know, and then when I get to the hotel, if they don't have crappy internet, I can swap them out for the ride back home. So, yeah, I've been using Plex since, God, since it sucked. I'm using Plex for probably going on like, I would say 8-9 years.
I just finally set it up on my Synology, and that was the best decision I ever made.
Yeah, I'm thinking about doing that. Yeah.
That's what it is. Adam, you may remember, when the original Drobo came out, you had the ability to set it up as a Drobo app, and I had it there, and it was horrible, so I switched it to an old Mac Mini, and that was, God, way back in like 07, so... Or 08, something like that. So it's pretty amazing.
Excellent. Good pick. Thanks also to Deep Pan, who has bought fingercondoms.co.uk and redirected it to the British Tech Network site, bastard. But thank you very much. I do appreciate it. Ish.
Ish.
Brett, what have you got for us, man?
Would I be a total asshole if I admitted I don't know what we're doing right now?
We're doing cool things. Just anything that you've got that you think's cool about that's an Apple product this week. You know, whether it's
sure.
Something for Mac, something for iOS, something, anything that's Apple related in the loosest sense. I mean, Doc's picked a freaking camera on this, so I mean.
I did find this natural rubber conductive powder. just kidding. No, Forklift 3, the Finder replacement that for years has rivaled Pathfinder, and as of version 3, I think it may have taken the lead. That just came out, and I have been using it, immediately paid for it. I love it.
So how close to a replacement is it for Finder? What does it give you that's...
Well, so it gives you split pane. It gives you keyboard shortcuts for moving and copying files. You get the the shelf where you can drag files from anywhere and collect them in one little drop area and then perform actions on all of them. It has amazing, you can mount S3, Dropbox, SMB, and all kinds of drives that are a pain to connect to and services that are a pain to connect to. Box and anyway, you can mount those all as drives and have droplets for all of them. They can show up in your menu bar even when they're not mounted, and you can drop stuff to them. It's quite, plus you can extend it with any kind of shell command you can add to the menu. It can do a ton.
One of the things that I think Microsoft has got a significant edge over Finder for is transfer of files. So
really?
The thing that kills me every time we transfer we're transferring files on Finder, you drag some over, if it finds a conflict, it goes, oh no, can't go any further, sorry mate, and
options are to skip or stop. Mm-hmm.
And it's like, okay, yeah, no, skip. So you click skip and it goes, okay, I'll carry on. And you're like, oh, there's 10 hours worth of transfer there, and you could have done 9.5 hours of that overnight and just done the last half hour this morning, you bastard. Does it override any of that? Because if it does, it's $20 gone out of my pocket now.
I have not used it long enough to run into that exact situation, but I will let you know.
I believe it does, because I started with Pathfinder, then I switched to Total Finder, and I had Forklift back when it first came out, and I believe it does do that. I believe it does have the ability to skip over a muck-up and copy past it, but you can download the demo and then play with it.
I am loving Total Finder, by the way. I've been using that for years now.
I've been a big fan of Pathfinder, but recently it has started to frustrate me because there are long running bugs in it, and I think they've simply there's no official announcement, but they've simply stopped supporting it.
Yeah, it's decaying in general.
Yeah, split
view is always good.
I'm definitely going to look into Forklift.
The thing that I said though, the one thing, even when Vista was out, the Vista file transfer process was oceans ahead of where Finder is now, because it just,
I had no idea about that.
Oh, it is, you just drag it over, you drop it, and Vista used to do all of the stuff that you wanted it to do and then say, okay, I've got five conflicts, what do you want to do? And you go, oh, I'll do that with that, okay, yeah, I'm finished.
I'm hoping with the new file system that Apple finally decides to blow up Finder and rebuild it from scratch.
It definitely needs a blow up.
Yeah.
My cool thing. Right. I love my AirPods. I adore my AirPods. I said, right, I'm not going to get one of these until they come out in the store. And I got these in the store in Regent Street last week. And I've had them now for nearly 10 days. And I adore them. They fit in my
ears. Welcome to the club.
They do. Yeah. They aren't very stable in my ears, I have to admit. They do rattle around a bit, and I do fear for the fact that they might fall out. But don't forget, as I said to you the last time, I have my M-Tech ear inserts, and these fit inside the MTEC earsets. It gets a little bit more bassy when they're in, but they're far more secure in my ears, and I adore them. And I have had these stuck in my ears most of this week. Just put them in, set something playing on either the Mac, and if it's like, okay, I've finished what I was doing on the, I've listened to music on the phone, and I just want to swap over, I want it on the Mac because I want to just listen to the video that I'm making, I want to make sure the audio is okay. Disconnecting and reconnecting is effortless. I know Lee Peterson, who comes on this show regularly, he's had problems with connectivity, but I haven't seen any of that in the last 10 days, nothing at all. I adore my AirPods, and that I haven't said that about an Apple product for quite a while now. I adore my AirPods.
You're starting to convince me that I should probably try them out. I said I wouldn't get them, but...
You should.
Well, so anyone that's listening, you know, I said from the start I wasn't going to get any because I wasn't convinced. Now I've gotten, I'm utterly convinced, and I couldn't do without them. They're in my pocket constantly in that thing. And I love this box. This box is the best thing that anyone has ever done because it just carries all of the charge on it. It's got everything in it, and it's 24 hours of plugging it in and out, and I'm never away from a plug-in device long enough to not plug it in. And it's small as well, and the rounded nature of it means it's not obtrusive in me. I'm sorry, I'm gushing now, aren't I? I didn't think I'd do that again about an Apple product.
What was the anti-theft thing that came out last week?
And it's minor.
There's
literally only one, and I'll tell you what it is real quick. I'm super anal about cleaning stuff, and right in that little thing, it's super hard to get to that speck of dirt, like right there. So I use an ear swabby, and I get in there and I try to clean it, but there's a little part right next to the hinge where you can't get that last dirt out, and it only comes from pocket lint, you know?
Right, dude, stop, because you're going to feel such an arsehole in a minute.
What?
Because you always go on about how much of a photographer you are. All you got to do is get your blower out, your dust blower for your lenses.
Oh, I do that. I blow the dust out, but
what happens is... And you've got a brush on the end as well. Sorry, mate. You've gone down in my estimation now.
I don't care what you say, bro. You can't blow this part off. This is literally... Now, I've had mine for a lot longer than yours, so yours ain't got there yet. But your pocket lint, especially with blue jeans and black jeans, and I bought recently jeans, it will create a little thing right there. I have a 100-something PSI freaking air tank back there that I use for my woodworking. I turn it on low. I put it down to like about 20 PSI. I blow all the regular dust out. But there's a part of it where it just won't come off. And you get a little, I have a little blue jean tint to it. And that just came from buying new blue jeans. But, I mean, that's minor.
What you want to do is get a condom for that.
So I was going to say, too, I mean, good Lord, guys, this is a family show. Can we not talk about you each other blowing your ear pods, please?
That's the best bit as well. When you've got the lid open and you want to close it, you just go like that.
Someone came out last week with a case for the case that made it look like, I think it was like a box of Preparation H or Advil or something.
That's going to sell.
something no one would ever steal.
They have the dental floss sticker.
Yeah, that came out
a while back.
It looks exactly like gold dental floss.
iCarbons have got to do something for this, surely.
Colorware PC started painting them whatever color you want, which is kind of cool, but it's expensive.
Yeah.
In my town, surprisingly.
Cool.
Really?
Yeah, Colorware works out of Winona, Minnesota. I'm not supposed to tell people that. They try to hide.
Why? Are they worried about terrorism?
I don't know. Even when I was writing for larger blogs, they wouldn't even let me come see the factory, and it's literally like 5 minutes away from me.
Oh, right.
Very private.
So they're expensive and secretive. It's got to be a division of the NSA then. So
you would think possibly CIA.
Yeah, there you go.
Who knows anymore?
I'm not buying it off Google anymore. Where can we get a hold of you? Doug Rock.
You can find me all over the interwebs at DOCROCK and hanging out on this very network, creating trouble to the British people.
Thank you, man. Are you going to come back on Big soon?
The scheduling is just a little tight right now. I got my CNC training coming up and my surgery the week after that, so
okay,
we'll see.
Well, when you're off your legs,
once I'm convalescing, I have no excuse. I can't work. So
Patrice came on last week, mate, and it was the episode of the year, according to Lee Garrett. Yeah. So there you go.
Wow.
Damn British cats.
You got to listen to it. Paralyzed, moving by myself by Paralyzed Scrotum. That's the episode you're looking for in iTunes.
Yeah.
Adam, where are you, mate?
You can find me over at maccast.com, Maccast on Twitter, and Maccast on iTunes, and every week on the iOS show at theiosshow.com.
Thanks, mate. Kyle, where are you? You must have some serious fuel on that plane, mate, because you still haven't got anywhere. Have you been refueling midair?
No. I think what the thing is, we just keep circling and circling. It's a very much a Die Hard 2 scenario going on right now, I have a feeling.
Really? You got no permission to land? Yeah.
No. I don't know. Tower communication. Who the hell knows?
It's snakes on a plane.
It's a Lufthansa flight. They're waiting for Apple Pay.
Yeah, you can only come down when they get Apple Pay. I just noticed that it's a list. I didn't pick good that because it's a Lufthansa first class flight, but
we're screwed then. We're screwed.
And you got the whole plane to yourself, man.
Yeah. It's awesome. The best flight ever.
Awesome, dude. Thanks for the noise effects. Please go back in the studio next week. Where can we get a hold of you?
I'll do this. You can find me, of course, on Twitter at Kyle Swagger, kyleswagger.com. BTV all the time here in the Philippines if you're into NBA, and of course 4 times a week here on the BTN network on the new show.
You got to listen to the Daily Show. It's the staple, mate. It is the bomb. Well done, mate. $299 if you want colorware to turn your ear pods into a different color.
Damn right,
you're taking the piss. That is just bollocks. I could take him down to my mate who's got a spray shop for cars and get him done cheaper than that.
Does that include the AirPods or is it?
Oh, that might be included.
Oh, no, that's you send them the AirPods.
No, you send them the AirPods.
No, that's you send them the AirPods.
Brand new, it's $400.
That's great. That's crazy.
There you go.
Bad. It would be good just to do the case if you're going to do that at a body shop. You can just do the case. Never mind doing the rest of it.
$299. No wonder why they want to be secretive. Some they find out that somebody's going to come down there and say, "Why the hell did you charge me that much?"
They got more wealth than Fort Knox there.
Hey, you can get it.
Patrice, where are you, mate?
Every week here on the Mac Show, also on a couple of other podcasts. One of them being Deconstruct that I mentioned before. And everything I do on thepatrice.com.
Deekpan's just put in the chat room, the metallic red makes it look like your ears are bleeding. Brett, thanks for coming along, mate. Get back to work on that new album in the studio that you're in. Well done, pal.
Right.
It looks like a keyboard just to your left there.
That is actually a computer keyboard, but there is a MIDI keyboard right
there. No, it looks
there.
Like a piano keyboard. Don't spoil it, man. Don't spoil it.
You got it. All right.
Yeah. I hope the new album goes well, pal. And we'll have you along for a guest session with Paralyzed Scrotum whenever you can.
Totally in.
Thanks, man. Where can we get a hold of you?
I write at brettterpstra.com, and I am TTSCOFF, TTSCOFF, everywhere, including Twitter. And then I have my two podcasts, Systematic and Overtired, are on ESN.FM.
Excellent, mate. Thank you very much. My name is Ewan Rankin. You can get me at Ewan Rankin on Twitter. If you would like a Paralyzed Scrotum t-shirt, they're going to be coming next month. They're going to be about 20 quid each. But they will have a list of tour dates on from the 1982 tour, of course, the 1982 World Tour. And there's places across the whole planet that
they've
played at. Yeah, best tour ever. Absolutely. Least planned tour ever, based on the dates and locations, but best tour ever. We'll see you next week. Righty's taking over the big show this evening because I got work tomorrow. But see you then. Thanks for listening. Bye.